The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Caring Voice, a Sunday morning program brought to you each week by Aberdeen Home Care of Danvers, bringing valuable strategies to caring for the loved senior in your life. Now, here's your host, registered nurse, founder, and president of Aberdeen Home Care, Joanne McInnes.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's coming my way. This is Joanne McInnes, and we are once again gathered together on a Sunday morning at 7:30 on North Shore 104.9 for Caring Voice. This morning, we have again been graced by a very special guest, and it is my dear friend, colleague, and my esteemed guru, Mr. Bob Staines. Welcome back to Caring Voice, Bob.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you again, and I'm looking forward to our chat.
And Bob Staines is the founder, CEO, and guru of Bob Staines Conflict Transformation. And life is full of conflict. That's what we deal with every single day. That's what we stay up at night about. That's what we wring our hands about. And he's the man that can straighten it all out for us. Thank God we have him, because we need that. So today, what we'd like to talk about, even though we're all totally sick of COVID, is sort of the fallout. And I've been talking to people about this all week. Where are we now? Not the masks. I don't want to talk about the masks or the vaccine or the hand washing or any of that. Where are we inside? I mean, this has not only changed our outside world, it's changed our inner world. Maybe temporarily, maybe for good. And maybe we're on top of the world and maybe we're not. Maybe we're somewhere in between. But it's worthy of some time to think about what we've learned, how we're stronger, how we're better, how we're more vulnerable, how it's changed us. Don't you think, Bob? Don't you think we can give this a whirl?
I do. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. We like to peel the onion here at Caring Voice. We like to go deep and see what we can figure out for ourselves and for you. Bob, put this in some perspective for us. What are we all doing with brains that feel like they're in a blender?
Well, it's been a real experience of an extended, you know, usually when we experience something that's tough, not always, but often it's fairly time limited. But in this case, we've had to deal with all the internal repercussions of COVID for quite a long period of time. So there are things that we've gained, hopefully along the way, and things that we've lost. And in any event, now we're in this transition time where we have to figure out, how do we step back into the wider world? How do we feel safe again? Can we feel safe again? Can we trust again? There are so many, I think, questions that we're wrestling with right now in terms of figuring out what's next.
It's an interesting phenomenon when people, including people in your own immediate family and your best friends, are looked at as a vector of disease. I think that takes a while to get rid of. You know, I'm vulnerable with you. You could be giving me something that could kill me. And this thing, it's not like we're getting it off the subway or off the floor of a dirty department store. It's coming out of the airway of people we love. And it's made us suspicious and look at everybody kind of with squinted eyes. Are you vaccinated? Are you double vaccinated? And for those of us who have other health concerns that made COVID really a real live danger, we've had a change of heart about where we're safe and where we're not. And people are calling me all the time saying, I have to keep wearing my mask. Then wear it. It's not a bodysuit. You're not dressed up like an astronaut. You're putting a little piece of fabric or paper over your nose and mouth. If that's what you need in order to engage with people and re-engage, then do that. That's the outside stuff. But the inside stuff about, I think it's obviously acquainted us with more vulnerability that, gosh, I could get this disease pumping gas, or just more vulnerable in the world.
Yeah, and I think vulnerability, unpredictability.
Yes.
You know, this disease could be anywhere. The loss of control in terms of being quarantined in our homes and restricted in our travel and masked you know, when we go out, and for many people who never, many people never felt even safe to go out, to go to the store. So there's been all this sort of loss of, many losses that we've experienced during this time, that we now have to figure out how to reach out and grasp again, if we can. And as you said, you know, we've developed habits of healthy suspicion in most cases, perhaps unhealthy suspicion in others, but suspicion nonetheless. And there's the kind of giving of that, I don't know, it's probably not the right language for it, but there's a difference between me being suspicious of you. That's one experience that I have. The other experience I have is you being suspicious of me.
Right.
And keeping me at arm's length, and the impact of the relationships that have been severed because of COVID, that, you know, something as simple as being together, you know, in church, for instance, or in some civic setting, where, you know, we had to end that, or we had to put distance between each other. And that has its cost.
And on the flip side of the coin, there, it's not, it's never, as you taught me, it's never either or, it's both and. We have, we emerge from this with certain strengths, or I don't know, maybe a renewed look at what matters. Our priorities are different. We value things more passionately than we did before. What's it like to be in the same room or on a patio or on a deck with 10 of your favorite people without having to wear a mask? But we re-engage the preciousness, I guess, of the interactions, and the connection seems heightened to me. It seems like I've gone from black and white to color.
Mm, yeah. And I think that's been the experience of many people, you know, that we, because we've been sort of forced to, and a lot of the outside pressure of socializing and being at work, et cetera, has been taken away, that we've had this incredible opportunity to see maybe what some of us hadn't seen as clearly as we could have before, the value of our relationships and the closeness that we share, you know, with those near and dear to us. And we've also had to slow down, generally speaking. I know, you know, I used to commute into Boston, into Watertown, and then Cambridge for many, many years. And that was sometimes 3 hours of my day, and a very tense 3 hours of my day. I was not one of those people that could be just sanguine in traffic. And, you know, with that removed from many people, I think there's been a real opportunity for the freedom to see the connections that we have. And in the process, many of us have discovered strengths that we didn't even know we had. Discovered, for instance, as those parents that have had to teach their children at home have discovered abilities, and probably torn out a lot of their hair along the way, but also discovered some abilities that perhaps you know, they didn't know that they had. And we really haven't had the sort of keeping up with the Joneses opportunities that we normally have when we're out in the world. It's been keeping our families together and keeping our relationships together and keeping ourselves healthy, which has occupied our attention, you know, for the last year and a half or so. And those are all wonderful things. Those are all benefits that I think are, have been embedded in this experience, that it will be easy for us to lose if all we can see is the challenges and the difficulties that we've experienced. Not to say that we shouldn't address them and focus on them and take them into account. But I hope that we don't lose what we've gained from this experience as well.
In talking to a couple of groups of seniors over the past couple of weeks, one of the questions or one of the comments that's been coming from these groups pretty consistently is, I feel like I don't know who to trust. You know, as, especially as far as public health is concerned, because early on in the pandemic, we were told masks are not necessary for civilians. Mm-hmm. You know, the only people that need to wear masks are healthcare professionals. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, that's completely wrong. Everyone must be masked or double masked. And then we heard about the vaccine, and we heard about the plasma and all these different treatments and what was good and what was not. I had a woman tell me the other day that she asked her primary physician, should I have the vaccine? And the physician said, no, you have an autoimmune something or other, and you should not have the vaccine, yada, yada, yada. Well, she called back a couple weeks later and said, I'm really worried about not having the vaccine. And the physician said, get the vaccine. She said, well, you told me 2 weeks ago I couldn't get it because I have an autoimmune condition that might get stirred up because of the vaccine. And I don't think the doctor knew what to say. And not picking on the doctor, but you know, this is best guess. This has not been around long enough to really have hard scientific data that's been tested and double tested and triple tested. It's kind of been blind tested, and we're doing the best we can in the medical community, but there's not a lot of hard and fast answers here. It's making your best guess. But people feel like even the governmental, the WHO and the CDC and the NIH, National Institutes of Health, I'm not sure that what they're telling me today won't be changed tomorrow, and there'll be a new ultimate truth about COVID that sort of debunks everything that we heard yesterday. How do I trust again? I really need to trust my doctor.
You know, I'm just curious, you as a medical professional, how do you respond to that coming from where you're coming from, knowing what happens in medicine? What do you tell folks like that?
You know, you really need to think about this stuff. Your doctor is there, you know, with education and expertise, but it doesn't mean that everything that comes out of any doctor's mouth is gospel truth. And so we're making a pot pie. We're looking at what my friend's experience is and what the TV is telling me and what, you know, my physician is telling me. Maybe I have a specialist or two. And ultimately, it's your body, your health, and your longevity. And so you'll make the best decision for yourself that you can, collecting the data that's coming in at you from every place. Because through the years, there have been plenty of medical people who have given wrong advice. You could make a wrong decision yourself. I guess the thing here is that you're going to do the best you can. And so is the medical community. I think what people are looking for is a guarantee. They want an insurance policy on this. They want definitive, actual, factual, I can take this to the bank, and we're just not there.
Uh-huh. The longevity of the virus hasn't given us long enough to really get to that definitive place. Yeah, and that feeds into the larger uncertainty that people have been feeling all during the pandemic, but now as we go out into the world, can I trust the vaccine? Right. Do I need to still stay right. home?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I want a guarantee, and there just aren't any. There are steps that make us safer, but there is no, you know, get out of jail free card here. That's not going to happen. I think people are waiting for that. They're waiting for something that says, I'm perfectly safe. And that's not available yet. But it doesn't mean that we need to be imprisoned anymore. We need to start gradually breaking out and taking baby steps, step by step by step by step, to kind of re-engage with life. And I think that's where some people are struggling. They don't know how to do it. Never mind the physical changes of mask and vaccine and all that, the emotional, the inner self that has fear that maybe can't even be articulated. Maybe people don't know what they're afraid of, but they just feel afraid.
Well, there's an emotional masking, right? Mm. It's gone hand in hand with the physical masking that we've had to, in some sense, keep things under wraps. So even from something as concrete as someone in our family died, and we have to keep our grief under wraps because we haven't been able to have a funeral and put that body to rest. And there are so many of those kinds of things where we've just kind of had to mask ourselves to ourselves as well as to others. And now we're taking off the emotional mask as well as the physical masks, and figuring out how to move into that new world.
And how we share our emotional burdens. I mean, I think of my work at Aberdeen Home Care, caring for those maybe at end of life, but maybe just in the last chapter of life. And there are so many things that happen in that process that usually might be explored more fully or discussed in a family, and they're capped. Everybody's capped. I can't deal with one more thing that's going to really pull from my inner resources because I'm spent. So those things go unaddressed, or they don't get the attention that they should get. Anytime, my experience, and Bob, you'll have a lot to say about this. Anytime something doesn't get its full voice, it'll be back.
Right, right. I may have said on the show before that when I teach about conflict and dialogue, I use two images, fire and ice. And people are afraid of the fire because maybe they've been burned before, so everything, they let it freeze over. And you can do that individually with your own emotions, or you can do it in your relationships and your family. And people are walking on ice, or I may be walking on ice emotionally, but it's still there. It's under the surface. It's going to break through somewhere down the line. Better to do it intentionally than to have it come upon you unawares.
In childhood mental health, they always talk about it's going to come out sideways, and it'll come out in a way that's not productive and where you don't see it coming, and it can wreak havoc. Speaking of wreaking havoc, I want you to do that. We're taking a short break. I want you to wreak havoc. I want you to give a primal scream, or go get another cup of coffee, or do a dance, or put on Saturday Night Fever and really go around the kitchen like mad, and come back in just about 1 minute for more of Caring Voice with Bob Staines, because you don't want to miss a thing he has to say. We'll see you in just a minute.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
You're listening to Caring Voice on North Shore 104.9.
Are you a student nurse? Are you interested in joining a very dynamic community health team that will give you a lot of mentoring and experience and teach you, preparing you to be even better when you hit your clinical rotations? Well, listen here. This is Joanne McInnes, registered nurse. I own and operate Aberdeen Home Care out of Danvers. We have a program through the Handshake platform where we are hiring student nurses who have not yet completed clinical rotations, or those who have. Please give us a look on the Handshake site. We'd love to talk to you, get you out working in the community, having a valuable experience, and being mentored and taught by some of the most established and successful nurse case managers on the North Shore. Check us out. We'd like to meet you.
Visit AberdeenAtHome.com to start the conversation if you're a student nurse looking for a quality, community-focused healthcare team. That's AberdeenAtHome.com. You're listening to Caring Voice, presented by Aberdeen Home Care on North Shore 104.9.
Welcome back, listeners, to Caring Voice. Joanne McInnes from Aberdeen Home Care here, and I'm joined by my great friend and colleague, Bob Staines, from Bob Staines Conflict Transformation. And we are talking about the fallout of COVID, inner and outer, and how we were re-engaging in the world around us. So I am on an email about children and mental health. It's sort of a closed Facebook group. And wow, some of these kids that are in crises are sitting for 5, 7, 10 days in an emergency room bay waiting for a bed in a mental health facility. And it's not just the kids that are suffering and can't get access to services. It's everybody, including elders. So Bob and I were batting around. Well, there are resources for help that aren't necessarily formally, you know, in a formal package of going to a therapist's office and sitting and doing talk therapy.
Yeah, there are a lot of resources. I just want to tag on a couple things before we get to that, in terms of observations about our experience in these last, you know, many months. And I was thinking about how there have been several jobs I've had in my life where I've had the challenge and opportunity to deal with emergencies. I worked in hospitals, I worked, you know, on the streets, I've worked in several different places where I've had to be, you know, respond to an emergency. And there's a certain mindset that I developed in responding to those emergencies, right? You can just focus on it, get the job done, focusing on that which is right in front of you and getting the job done. And then afterwards, you can step back and debrief it with your friends, your family, your colleagues, whatever. But we've been doing this for however long COVID's been happening. You know, we've been in this sort of emergency mindset of having to deal and deal and deal and manage and manage and manage for a really protracted period of time. And now we have this opportunity to step back. And embedded in that is also the surfacing of the pain that we've experienced, the losses, you know, the suffering, the isolation of these past many months. And there are many people who are looking for professional help with that right now. And unfortunately, there are so many people looking for professional help right now that it's difficult, if not impossible, to get in to see somebody. But there are many resources that are available to people who are not able to get professional help, or perhaps who don't want professional help but want some kind of help and support through this time of reentry and reintegration into daily life. One of them is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, which offers many, many services. But we'll, Joanne, I'm assuming you'll list some of these on the website.
Everything that we discussed today will be available at aberdeenathome.com, and that's A-T, not the at symbol, Aberdeen at Home. And it will be under the Caring Voice tab, and you can get a printout of everything that we're discussing today with all the resources, numbers, websites, and so forth.
Great. So I'll just say that, there's a helpline that the National Alliance on Mental Illness offers. It's a toll-free number, which will be available on the website. Mm-hmm. There's also an organization called the Open Path Collective. It's openpathcollective.org, which specializes in helping people find local, low-cost therapists. And this is something to keep in mind for a little further on down the road for people that perhaps don't have a really huge insurance coverage, that are looking for low-cost therapy, that can afford therapy. It's a great resource. One of my favorite resources is a group called LIFT, L-I-F-T, and their website, joinlift.com, provides a place where you can go for scientific, evidence-based tools to care for yourself in terms of coping with the challenges in your life, not just COVID, but other kind of challenges that are related in terms of loss, depression, things like that. And so it's joinlift.com. I highly recommend that. Related to that, the same developer created a course for people like you and me that don't necessarily have the sophisticated medical and technical knowledge that Joanne has, to understand the dynamics of mental well-being from a neurological and a neurochemical perspective. And that is called mindweather.org. If you're interested in studying that over time for lay people, it's really useful. And again, offers some really good advice. And the last thing I'd say is, for those of you out there who may be employers, there's a fantastic resource called Unmind. That's U-N-M-I-N-D, unmind.com, which is also an online tool that employers can provide to their employees to help them, especially in this time of readjustment to the workplace after being cooped up in COVID. So all these will be available on the website. Just to say that there are resources that all of us can take advantage of if we can't get into professional therapy, or we may not need professional therapy, but they can help us readjust to this new world that we're in.
Bob, I know you did some research to put that list together, and I really appreciate that, as I know our listeners do as well. And just a reminder, that's all available at aberdeenathome.com on the COVID tab, and it will have the information on today's program so that you can refer to that. You know, you brought up the neurobiological connection between what we experience emotionally and in our feeling center. And we're all one. I mean, you know, an automobile has tires and a steering wheel and a radio, and we have we have all those complicated parts too. But to understand, and you talked about one of those. What was it? Was it wasn't Unmind? Was Mindweather? Wasn't it?
Yeah, the course.
Yeah.
To understand. Yeah.
You know, to know what's happening to you, if you have a heart condition, don't you want to know what's causing it and what you can do about it rather than just swallow your pills every day? I mean, I do. And so our mental health and our emotional well-being is no different than that. To understand what's happening to you when you're in that flight, fight, or freeze response to a crisis, And Bob might have mentioned it, but we were talking about it earlier, that we store things up. You know, it's not appropriate, or we don't have a vehicle or an opportunity to express that grief of a loss, or our frustration, or our rage, or our, and it gets stored up, and then it comes out in inopportune ways. Understanding what makes us tick, that's big in my agenda, and
yeah,
should be in everybody's.
You know, one of the exciting things about the brain research is that, you know, 50 years ago, we used to think that once you hit like 30, your brain is pretty well unchanged, except that it's going to deteriorate. Well, we know now that that's not true. We know that the brain is very plastic and malleable, and that all through life, it is always changing. And we have this incredible opportunity to have a positive impact on our mental health and our functioning. Our brain can change. We're not determined. If we're depressed, we're not necessarily genetically determined to stay there. We can work on changes in our feeling and thinking that actually change our brain. So one of the things that I'd like to suggest to you listeners is making a choice, in addition to focusing on the challenges that we've all had and that we are experiencing now, focusing on post-pandemic growth. What can we do to harvest the wisdom that we've gotten from the experience that we've had and the strengths that we've discovered in ourselves? How can we leverage that to actually grow more during this transitional time and into the life that we're going to lead after the pandemic? I think that these kinds of questions, the forward-moving, wisdom-seeking questions, are ones that can really help us as we move forward into this new kind of life that we're going to have.
So, Bob, when we've been in crisis before, when we've been in a physical crisis, mental health crisis, grief, we've all found places to go to try to mop up ourselves. Some of those have been healthy and have worked well, and some of those have been destructive. Mm. So we're coming to the close of the program. And I hate to put you on the spot, but I know you can do it because you're all that and a bag of chips. You just were talking in such poetry about the post-pandemic opportunity for growth. Can you sign the program off with some, maybe a word of encouragement or helping people to access that place in themselves, their higher selves, to come out of this with something that's good?
Yeah, I'll actually give you all a challenge. Those of you who've heard me before know that I'm very big on gratitude practice. And in this time, I'm challenging you to think every day for a week to write down one blessing or gift that you experienced during the pandemic and answer the questions for yourself. What was it and what was the meaning of it for me? Do that for a week. And then the next week, focus on one blessing, answering the question, what can I do to embed and extend this gift as I move forward into my post-COVID life? And if you try that as a practice, I mean, I have no idea, you know, I can't guarantee that this is going to, you know, work any magic for you, but I do know that paying attention, what we pay attention to grows. And the more that we pay attention to the gifts that we've received and the blessings and the strengths that we have, the more we'll be able to call on them as we face the challenges that are to come.
It doesn't get any better than that, listeners. And that's why you're listening to Caring Voice right here on North Shore 104.9, because Caring Voice cares about you. And so we look for the gurus in our community who can help us and teach us and bring us along to a better place and a better self. Thank you for joining us today, Bob Staines. You always amaze, inspire, encourage. Thank you so much for your time and bringing all that you are to the radio program today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a privilege to be on with you, Joanne.
Stay tuned again next Sunday morning at 7:30 here on North Shore 104.9 for another episode of Caring Voice. And until then, please think about gratitude, be well, and we'll see you next time.
To listen back to today's episode or find a previous podcast from Caring Voice, go online to NorthShore1049.com/caring-voice. Tune in again next week for Caring Voice, brought to you by Aberdeen Home Care in Danvers. Caring Voice airs each and every Sunday morning at 7:30, providing valuable strategies related to caring for the seniors in our lives.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.